Hello and welcome to episode 226 of Checkpoint Chats. Just had to open my folder there. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
226. Yo, we spoke about it before the show. I said
226.
Is this 226? Yes. Is it 226? Yes. Welcome to
Who
the
knows?
Show.
You'll never it's know episode... until the show starts. Yeah, fuck. It always happens, man. It's like
I get it. I'm the same. It's just off, and you know, not the public facing side. On my side, I'm like, I've got to make the folder. What's it called again? Let me just go have a look.
I'm on a bunch of medication that I see a doctor for like pretty regularly, and every time I'm there, she goes through like potential side effects. Is like, are you experiencing this? So it's like fairly routine. I know the listener, and the one that always gets me, she's like, how is your memory? And I'm just like,
excuse me.
Yeah.
No fala inglés. So
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Thing is, my memory was always bad, so I don't know if it's like medication that's exacerbating it, but like, I don't know. I'm just, short-term memory has never been, long-term memory, I can fucking recall dumbass facts that mean nothing from years ago.
Mm.
But ask me like what you just told me like half an hour ago, I'll be like,
I'm the same. Sure. My short-term memory, I think it's gotten better over the years, but man, it used to be bad. Like I often remember, so did you ever go to my mom's old place? You have, years ago.
In Kensington.
Mm. So you remember. Like you'd walk in the front door, the kitchen's on your left, the bar's to your right. Okay.
Yes.
So my dad always used to hang out, like watch TV in the bar, whatever, read the paper. And often like I'd go chat to him and then he'd say, just like on your way to the house, because I passed through the kitchen. It's like, would you just put the kettle on for me? Like, of course, I'll do it for you. Leave the bar, walk through the kitchen, straight to the study of the room, just clean forgot.
Yep.
He arrives in the house half an hour later. It's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, you literally walked out and you forgot. I'm like, I know. I'm so sorry.
I do it to Shani all the time. She's like, can you just put on the kettle when you're done, like in the office? You know, before you sit down and watch TV. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course.
And in my back of my head, I'm like, yeah, I also want tea.
Mm.
She comes to the kitchen to make tea. She's like, did you boil the kettle? I'm like, fuck.
No.
I'm like, God damn it.
Dude.
The one that always gets me is taking things out of the freezer for dinner. If someone's like, take the steak out before you leave for work so that it defrosts. I'm like, sweet. Get home in the evening. Fuck.
Nothing worse than having your mom ask you to take out the chicken in the morning and then she arrives home. And the moment you hear that car pull in, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, the brain is just like, oh my God, you need to remember this thing now that it's far too late to remedy it.
Yeah, run to the kitchen, take it out. Like, it's so weird. It's been out the whole day. Okay.
Thermodynamics. I don't know how they work.
It's so cold. It's weird. Mom's like,
yeah,
it's
been so cold in this house. Yeah, I just can't believe it. Medeosh.
Medeosh. It's weird how it didn't de-thaw. I can't
Your
believe
Your mother
this.
Just fucking judges you at that point. She's like, this guy's just full of shit.
I think everyone's had that hard relate moment where, oh shit, I've got to do something.
Yep. Well, often that happens when someone asks you. They're like, oh, so did you do this thing? And you just feel like your heart in your throat and you're like,
yes.
Whoops. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but my knee-jerk reaction is always like, yes, and then motivates all.
Oh my, no. At that point, I know. It's lost. Like,
keep
there is no lie
face.
In the world
yes.
that can fix that. No. Did you take the chicken out? Yes. Then why is it in the freezer? I don't know.
Because I put it back.
You didn't ask
Why
me
did you
to
put
not
it
put
back?
It back.
Yeah. That's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't know why I did that.
I think you're asking the wrong questions. The question we need to ask is, what are we going to eat now?
Yeah. Listen, the chicken's still frozen. It's not too late to get Nando's.
Yeah. This KFC literally
next
door.
We can remedy this. It's not your homemade Portuguese chicken, but I know another local person who can do it. The name's Mr. Nando.
Did you know, so I don't know how often you go to Nando's. I go to Nando's quite often because I think it's pretty good and pretty healthy.
Yeah.
But they have a flavor there called Mozambican paprika. It is
I've never
so
tried
good.
It. Is it good?
So good. It's like between lemon and herb and mild. So it's a bit spicy, but it's not like Shani doesn't like spicy foods and she likes it. Like I find it very flavorful. It's really good. They now sell it at the supermarket
with
all the other spices. I will drown fucking chicken in that stuff. It is so good. It is.
Oh. Drown everything in there. Your cornflakes, the chicken.
Yeah, I'm fucking, let's go. Put it on my oats in the morning. You know, just get that Mozambican flavor there. Why it's called Mozambican paprika? I don't fucking know, but it's delicious.
So apparently Nando's in the UK is a way fancier affair.
Yes.
That's like people literally go there for dates.
Yes. Like, I walked past one once when I was there and looked at the menu and I was like, why is this so much more expensive than it should be? And then I walked away.
So I'm definitely keen to try it just to be like, yeah, this is the Nando's. This is the Nando's we have at home. Or Ben, that was a 5-star gourmet chicken paprika flavor. I can't believe it.
They've opened one in the States now. I saw a YouTuber.
Gareth offered it to Nando's.
Do you have it? Mm. Yeah, because there's one in Washington, I think. Washington State. So, but doesn't Gareth live Chicago?
No, but yeah, they've had Nando's in the States for a while because he's had it for...
Is it? Okay. Mm. Okay. Because a YouTuber I watch opened it in one of the other states across the country. So it could be limited, maybe. I mean, the country is fucking huge. So
I mean, he's lived in Chicago, Los Angeles, and now Atlanta. I know he's definitely had it. Atlanta. I don't know if it was in Chicago or Los Angeles. Maybe Chicago.
It's cool that they have it there. Like that's yeah. Because where else is it? Probably Australia. Because like half of South Africa moved there, so they need their Nando's. You know?
Yeah, you need that Nando's.
I'm pretty sure it's there. Yeah. In the UK, it's there. Yeah. Proudly South African franchise.
Nice.
Let it be known.
Take a date there.
Yeah, take Lensk on a date to Nando's. Get a chicken wrap.
Oh, God.
And some wedgies.
Well, one thing she's excited for in the UK is vegetarian KFC. Lenska doesn't miss...
Do they do that?
Doesn't miss meat. Does miss KFC though.
Do they do vegetarian KFC? Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's just never come here. I guess there's just no real market for it here.
Yeah, that is kind of weird because not all of them, but like Burger King had a big vegetarian range. I don't know if they still do.
I think they still
McDonald's
do.
McDonald's had that vegetarian burger, which I thought was fucking trash, but I know Lenska liked it.
Mm. Everywhere you go, even in South Africa, like you can go to Steers, get a vegetarian burger, for example.
Steers is actually really good at that because every single one of their meals essentially is vegetarian.
Yeah, but KFC just straight up do not have a vegetarian option. But I know in the UK they do. So she's going to have some fake deep fried chicken.
Get that fried cauliflower.
I don't know what it is, but I know they offer our versions of food.
I mean, so. if there's one thing vegetarian... like substitutes have kind of gotten right. It's like faking chicken. Like, I think they struggle with like steak, but like chicken
you can
vegetarian
fake.
Chicken nuggets, pretty fucking good. Yeah. So yeah, fried chicken, you'll get those sprinkle pops, vegetarian sprinkle pops.
Nice.
Amazing. Amazing.
Love to see it.
You just have to pay 3 times more than what you paid.
Shh, don't talk about it. Don't speak. It's fine.
You can also enjoy being a big meat eater. Every fast food place there will now have bacon.
What?
So you can have bacon on... Yeah, because remember, all of our fast food chains here are halal. So most of them. So we don't have bacon on anything. The first thing I had when I went to the UK was like Burger King. And like I think every burger had bacon on it. Every single one. And I was like, this is crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's pretty
can't
good
wait.
Though.
Pretty, can't wait.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Mm. You know what I can't wait for?
More time to play games.
To get to video games.
Yay.
let's check my chat to talk about video games. We are doing a swap this week.
We're doing a wife swap.
In terms of what... whoa.
There was a show called Wife Swap, wasn't there? I'm not making that up. I swear to God. It was like on British TV or something. Look this up. Sorry to derail you. Wife Swap.
Just
TV show.
Keep your safe search on there. Just letting you know.
Yeah, the Wife Swap, 2004 reality show, 7 seasons.
Good to know.
What a weird
premise. Good to
premise
know that it's not just another thing, but okay.
Wow. Anyways.
yes, we are doing a game swap.
Mm.
So let's be real. Last week, both of us had played very extensively our respective games that we were chatting about. Matthew with Street Fighter 6 and me with Diablo 4. Like, we had essentially, like, quote unquote, finished each game, at least as much as you can.
Yeah.
This is not the case on the reverse side here. I've played a monumentally small amount of Street Fighter 6, considering the week I've had.
I've also just, like, barely touched Diablo 4.
Yeah. So this is more a first impressions from the other side type of thing, I think, to just kind of, like, back up what we said last week. So I really want to hear what your thoughts are on the opening few acts of Diablo 4, especially considering you didn't play any of the betas. So
no,
I think people who played the beta, like, the first 10 hours of that game are a bit boring because, like, they're playing through the same first
stuff.
Act of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you, without any context, you and Darren especially, you're both like, damn, this game's dark. I'm like, guys, you could have figured this out months ago.
No, so I always knew it was dark, but man. Oh, but also, so the game's opening cinematic, I've seen that before. That was how they revealed the game, right? But I don't think...
Yes, yeah, stunning
cinematic. I don't think they've changed it, because to me it looked like beat for beat.
It is the same. It is the same.
I mean, I remember watching
that
trailer.
It's fucking crazy, though.
Yeah, like they must have come out a few years ago, but I remember watching that going, oh my God, like, the tone for this game, like, okay. they're going real dark here. But that opening shot of... Lilith, when the camera just keeps pulling back, like, oh man, oh my God, look at that cape. Whoa, that's a cape.
Yeah, that cape of, like, flesh almost. Just, yeah, it is very macabre.
It's, in the words of a John Michael, it's just metal as fuck. Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Lilith is
metal as fuck. Yeah.
So they are for those of you who don't know, that opening scene basically just shows, like, the return of Lilith, and how that happens is, like, some real dark shit. Okay. I would say
get all the blood drained from their faces.
Yeah, I'd say, like, definitely stuff, if you're a sensitive viewer or gamer, like, do not watch. Like, I think it would upset a lot of people.
Does set the tone very well.
But yeah, on that, it sets the tone, because, again, for context, like, I remember when Diablo 3 was launching, leading up to release, fans were losing their shit over the game being too colorful. Like, the palette was too bright, and I'm there with you, like, rolled my eyes, like, oh, you know, it's whatever. But again, I was much younger then. I didn't really play too much Diablo 2. But I look back now, and I mean, we all know that Diablo 4 is basically, it's the tone of Diablo 2. It's dark, but it's got, like, the modern sensibility of Diablo 3. You know,
100%,
even though Diablo 3 is a 10-year-old game at this stage, which makes me feel really ancient. It's got some learnings from those two games, and it's kind of wrapped them into one package. But man, the darkness is something that I didn't know I needed in a Diablo game.
They are very much like, we hear you, here's some gruesome shit.
But it is, I mean, when you think about it, it's like, well, it makes sense, because you're fighting demons and monsters. Like, of course it's not going to be like Latin, hey, Diablo's out here causing some shit.
Deckard Cain being like, hello.
That rapscallion, let's go sort him out. I think just from the get-go, I feel the tone, like, it does a good job. Like, I'm very excited to peel away at the horrors that lie in this game, because it doesn't let up. Like, again, I've played the first hour, and there's a cutscene about 30 minutes in, which even then I was like, oh my God.
You're talking about the villagers?
Yeah, the one with the, like, that first church sermon.
Yep.
I was like, oh my God, this game is unrelenting.
It's wild. Yeah,
so it really sets the scene of, like, there's some shit going on in this world, and you're just a random person at this stage in my story. Like, I don't know my backstory. I'm just here investigating, going, like, what the hell is going on? Like, some dark shit's going down. I need to figure it out. Lilith's back. What do we do? And that's probably about as far as I got in terms of story.
So did you make it to the main city of Kyovashad?
No, not. I think.
Wow. Okay.
I think I'm basically there, though. If in terms of story, I've met
you met Lorath.
Lorath, yeah. So I think that's the next step. Like, I'm going.
Yeah, you'll
go.
That's like the main hub of the game, essentially. That they kind of just like, hello, now you kind of have free reign.
You can
on
do whatever you want.
What to do? Yeah.
But I am playing Rogue, and I have unlocked a few skills. And from the get-go, it is cool to see that, like, again, I enjoyed Diablo 3, but I'll never forget playing it and going, man, like, I didn't really get to build my character the way I thought I would. Because Diablo 3 was the thing of you level up and they go, hey, here's some new skills, or here's a modifier on one of your old skills you can just chop and change. Which, it's nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't like Diablo 2 where it's you following a specific skill tree or trying to do a specific build. Diablo 4, again, like modern version of that, you can kind of build the character the way you want and you can respec for a fee, which is very cool. And it is, like, I had no idea it was, you know, this sort of level of depth where even from the get-go, it's like, okay, you need to choose your main attack. Here are six options. It's like, oh, damn, okay, like, I thought I'd have like three. Okay, here's your second ability. You can have like another 4 to 6 options to choose from. And I can see how, because I think your bar, there's 5 to 6 abilities you can use at any time. Well, how many is it?
Is it four? So there's four on your hotbar and then 2 on your mouse. So 6.
Six, yeah. But I mean, even between those, it's like, oh, you can have a lot of variation with the abilities you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think in terms of build potential, like, players can have a lot of fun figuring out like what works, what synergizes well, that sort of thing.
And what's the rogue's resource? Because I mean, me playing as Necromancer, I had essence.
I think it's energy.
Okay, so you have, I assume you have an attack on your mouse that generates energy and one that consumes it.
I think it's very similar to Demon Hunter, which is a thing of like, okay, your left click generates this, your right click, whatever.
Right click consumes, and everything else the Necromancer is the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you can spec to not do that. I guess that's the beauty of it, is like, if you find a viable route to get around that and actually not even use your primary resource, then like, more power to you. But like, I think those are the fundamentals of a build, put it that way.
Yeah, but even just from the get-go in the rogue, it's like, those opening abilities, some of them were you use a dagger to do this amount of damage and this, you get this buff, or you fire an arrow. So it's like from the get-go, I can go, oh, I want to be a close quarters person, or like, no, I want to keep my distance. This is very cool. Like, you've got the options to do that.
And a lot of those abilities I found, like, even the starting ones are crucial to your build once you reach level 50. Like, the very first ability I picked for my Necromancer ended up being the main reason why my build worked, because it had a passive where it would generate like corpses every few seconds. So it made the entirety of my build viable just because I would have a healthy stream of these corpses. And it's like the first ability I picked. So it's cool to see that there's an importance on everything you pick, like throughout the tree. There's nothing wasted, put it that way.
It's very cool. So like, I'm excited to dig into that. Because again, like Diablo 3, I felt like when I wrapped my head around how that worked, it was fine. But it was like, again, I'll never forget that those first hours, I was like, man, that's disappointing. Like, I don't get to really do it the way I thought I would.
And in Diablo 3, you could only really define your build right at the end when you had unlocked everything, because you had no idea what you were getting.
No.
It's a much better like role-playing system. It actually is role-playing. You are making those decisions for yourself. So,
but also in a complete pivot, I'm not playing on PC.
We got a
review code for PS5, and it's funny because in my head, I've always thought, like, I'm right there with the PC players. Like, Diablo just would never work on console. But I've known Diablo 3 came to consoles and it's been really good.
It was like the primary platform for that game.
Just playing that hour yesterday, I was like, it works absolutely fine. Like, maybe I miss the, like, when I open up my inventory and I have to tab between all the items, like a mouse would be nice. But man, it works. Roaming the world, using spells works perfectly. Like, I can't floor that. I think it feels really good.
I was quite surprised because, like, when I played Diablo for like a preview last year already, I was like, wow, this game is way more about positioning. It's way more about precision of your attacks. Like, you are not given that leeway with, for example, the Necromancer. I had to press an ability to raise a skeleton from a corpse, but my mouse had to be over a corpse for that to work. If it wasn't, it would do the animation of the spell
and then nothing
on the ground, and nothing would happen. So it's like, okay, how do you translate that to a controller which has far less precision than a mouse, especially when there's so much shit happening? And I've played with a controller on PC as well. It works incredibly well.
Like, I'm sure there must be some assist there, like it snaps to a corpse or something. But yeah, again, like still early days, so I don't know. I haven't really had any wild screen moments where the screen's filled with enemies, but I know when I get there, it should be fine. But it's funny. Diablo is a franchise that I've enjoyed a lot, but Diablo 4 is one of those games I've just sort of like let it pass me by. I'm like, it's Diablo 4. It's cool, whatever. But now that I'm playing, I'm like, man, it's Diablo 4.
I mean, yeah.
I'm really keen to keep playing some more. I mean, because I even played Diablo Immortals. Is that the mobile one?
Yeah,
the I mobile played and finished that because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I thought it was good.
I chipped away at it. It was free. And I was like, man, that's for mobile Diablo.
It was a very
really
traditional
good.
Diablo story. I think Diablo 4 is far more of a step forward into the future than Immortal felt a lot like 3. You know what I mean? Diablo 4 definitely feels like, okay, this is now going to be the
standard
for Diablo.
Taking the next step.
Like, it is familiar. Like, there's nothing it's doing that is radically different. It's just like such a good refinement of everything that was there. And I think if they're going to support this like they did 3 for like a decade, it's like a very good foundation for that.
For sure.
It's cool that it's all crossplay. So even though you're playing on PS5, you can party up with anyone.
So I was going to get to that as well. When launching the game, it's like, cool, you know, synchronize with your BattleNet accounts. And then, like, right then and there, I saw my whole friend list, a whole bunch of mates playing. It's going to just
Funnily
works.
Enough, that check-in is actually causing problems with game sharing.
Oh, really?
So it's happening on PS5 and Xbox where people who game share, like we do, the person who isn't on the primary console is like... Like, there's, like, mad workarounds you have to go through to even get the game booting. Yeah, so it's just, like, not viable at the moment. I saw Blizzard said they're aware of it. Maybe it's just something they didn't realize.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they would probably get flack from, like, a Microsoft for that because, like, you have to make that sort of thing possible.
Yeah,
that's
to work.
That's not a negotiable thing, you know. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah. I always wondered, like, what would happen if we were to try and party up on the same copy of Diablo, like, would that even work? You know what I mean?
Does this
the
Diablo
answer right
have,
now is no.
Yeah. Does this Diablo have couch co-op on console?
Yes.
How?
It's, like, yeah, it's
I
got,
just,
it's
I just
couch
can't,
co-op. It's
I can't
wild.
Wrap my head around, like, two people being on the same screen. It must be so busy and how they make it work. Because I know Diablo 3 had that, but it's just...
Yeah, and that is part of the reason people love Diablo 3. I know Jeff often says that like he loved couch co-op with Diablo 3. I mean, when I played Minecraft Dungeons, which for all intents and purposes is Minecraft Diablo, like Shani and I played couch co-op on the single screen, and that's how we enjoyed it. So
nice.
Do I try to get her into Diablo 4?
So, Shani, come play Diablo 4. No, we'll skip this opening movie. No, we'll skip
this. Yeah. We don't need to see this. It's okay.
The story, it doesn't matter. Just click on this. That's cool. Yeah, but
I'm excited for you to get to some of the good story beats because, like I said, I think the story is fantastic in this game. And the first act sets a very good tone for that. There are some strong character moments with like characters like Viggo and Narelle. And it's, nice. You got a good time ahead.
Nice. Can't wait. We're just going to wrap up Street Fighter 6 story mode, go back to Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Oh my God. I saw that on my PlayStation when I booted it up for Street Fighter. I was like, oh my God.
That's just too much.
When am I ever going to get to
again? Just pepper in some Tears of the Kingdom. It's cool. It's all good. You know,
and
move
now,
my
now
life. It's
June,
cool.
You know, this coming week is Keeley's E3. So the rest of our year is just going to be peppered with all that stuff. So,
I'll definitely have more to say on Diablo in the near future, I'm sure. But, Joe, you've been playing the other game that we spoke about last week.
Yeah, listen, very, very briefly. I booted up Street Fighter 6 yesterday and basically just reacquainted myself with the tutorial mode again because the last time I played that was one of the betas. And like nothing's changed, but I just don't
remember how to
play that game again. So I think the thing that I was reminded of mostly is that training mode is incredibly extensive and very, very worthwhile going through. I think even if you are someone who is familiar with fighting games, like there are advanced tutorials that teach you a lot about like the fundamentals, like very, very niche strategies within fighting games that probably won't be useful to me because I'm just trying to understand how to like play.
Yeah.
But someone who has that waxed has, there's some value in there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does a good job of just breaking things down without making you feel like an absolute idiot. I think Mortal Kombat could learn a lot from this because I hate tutorial modes that are like, cool, let's teach you how to move. Move forward. Okay, now move back. Okay, now move back three times. Okay, now dash three times. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm playing a game like this, I should have an understanding of how games work from a fundamental level to the point where I know how to move. You know what I mean? So I feel like it brushes over the stuff that you should definitely know and then spends a really good amount of time explaining why certain attacks are done when and, you know, all of its different systems. Because like Street Fighter VI has got 2 meters. It's got your, what's the one? I don't even know what they're called. The drive meter is the green one.
Don't even ask below your.
I think it's the drive meters below your health, which is like 6 green pips, which empowers certain attacks. You can use it. You can burn them to make certain attacks stronger. You can burn them to defend certain attacks. And then you've got, I think, your super arts meter at the bottom, which is like your special attack sort of thing. And it's nice that they divide the two so that you don't have to pick between, you know, doing a very big special attack and being able to defend yourself effectively with all of the new moves. But it does mean that there are a lot of mechanics going on.
There's
a lot that I don't even think I'll use at this point. Like some of the tutorials in the intermediate stage are teaching you about like canceling out of attack and into a drive impact move. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. They're like, oh, do a low heavy attack. And just as it connects, double tap forward and then press this and then into a heavy into this combo. And I'm just like,
excuse me.
I'm just going to quit this tutorial real quick. I don't understand what's going on. And that's even using the modern controls. This is now like stretching the abilities of what the modern controls can do.
I see what you did there. Stretch your arm, guying the, yes.
I think the modern controls are a very good inclusion because it allows players like me who just don't have the time to obsess over getting all the quarter circle moves right and just want to get into the meat of what makes a fighting game fun. And that's like the mind games that you play with your opponent, knowing when to do an attack, why to do an attack, and not necessarily getting caught up on the execution of that attack. Cool, I can pull off a Hadouken, put it that way, very easily with modern controls.
Yeah.
Now the most important part of that is knowing when to use it, and knowing contextually within a match when to use it. Because you don't want to play a game where I think you see the opportunity to like, okay, this is the perfect time to throw that fireball. And then you do the quarter circle thing and nothing happens. And you're like, cool. That's just frustrating. And that's I think that's why I've never vibed with Street Fighter in a big way, is because like I get caught up on execution. And now the modern controls, you know, they remedy a lot of that. I'm not going to stick with Street Fighter for like, I'm not going to give it the amount of time that it probably deserves to learn it at a really great level, but I also want to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
And modern controls allow me to do that without feeling like an absolute idiot. So yes. I'm very glad for its inclusion. And I think it's very smart that they put that in there because they're aware that there are players like me who maybe just want to have more casual fun with Street Fighter who now can. So there's a purchase. Or people who are coming into the game for the first time, they try modern controls and then maybe after a while they're like, I'm really getting into this. I'm feeling the restrictions of modern controls. Let me graduate to classic. Whether that actually happens in reality, I don't know. But I see where the rationale is.
I think it's very clever. And I do think, I can't tell you there'll be this percentage of players, but I think there will be players who do try Street Fighter, whether it's now or in like 3 years when it's on sale, whatever, try the modern controls and go, I really enjoy this game. I'm going to fall in love with it. And then, I'm going to now learn how to use classic. Or maybe not. Like maybe you don't, you just play it as it is and that's fun.
Yeah. I think giving players the flexibility to make that decision themselves is good.
Mm.
And I think in many ways, it would feel weird now for a fighting game to come out without that.
Yeah.
Like if Mortal Kombat comes out and it's like, nah, everyone is playing dial a combo here, like good luck, then that feels strange, you know?
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you know, someone like Jeff who plays a lot of Street Fighter is not worried about people like us playing on modern controls because him knowing the game backwards, forwards over all these years is still fundamentally a much better player.
Yeah.
Like execution is not the be all and end all of a fighting game.
No.
You know what I mean? So he can have that waxed, but he still has the knowledge of how a fighting game works to the extent where me being on modern controls is a very minor advantage to my game and not a disadvantage to him. Mm. And I think that's very smart. Like the balancing act of that is very, very clever.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that works in a Mortal Kombat where that is so combo focused, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we'll see. I bet they have something similar when they release Mortal Kombat 1 later this year. I would be shocked if that's not there.
We'll see. Yeah.
That's most. I haven't really dived into the online. I mean, like I said, I played the beta, so I know kind of how that works. And I want to try the story mode, especially with the absolutely ridiculous character I made in the character creator.
Nice.
I think that character creator is hilarious.
It's the best. It's great. I love it.
It is so good. I'm so glad that Capcom allowed us to get absolutely batshit and crazy with that thing.
My future favorite pastime is just logging into Street Fighter lobbies and just seeing what other people walk around
just,
as.
It is wild what people have created. It's just, and like we were saying before the show, that avatar fighting mode I think is there purposefully as this like completely unbalanced mode that is going to stretch
to
the limits of like the character creator. Like I was listening to Jeff Gertzman talk about this on his podcast, and he was like, he can't wait to see at launch or the few weeks after launch what people start figuring out about the like optimal strategy for creating a character to and the optimal move set to attribute to them that gives them the absolute best stats or the best like abilities in this avatar fighting.
Because
a character with really long arms and long legs and give him Dalsim's moves. Like what does that do? You know,
just breaks the game. I can't
exactly.
Break.
So, but that's cool. They should let it break the game because that's not a serious mode.
No.
That's not a serious competitive mode. Like let people get absolutely fucking dumb with that thing. It's, I agree. It'll be cool to see.
Nice.
Yeah, the game's good. Like Street Fighter's back. Like people know this by now already. The game is being I think it was the most played fighting game on Steam at launch yesterday.
It's just crazy.
Ever. So like people are in. I think Capcom's done a really good job of marketing all the changes they've made, and all of the extensive betas have really
that's
allowed
been helpful,
people to be like, yeah, this game is fucking back. This franchise is back. So like it launching incredibly well is not surprising at all, but it's great to see.
Yeah.
And the streak for Capcom, I think, continues, which is awesome. Mm. So,
yeah, they've unstoppable at this moment. It's actually
completely
quite
just
scary because you're like, what's going to be the game that breaks you again?
What's the first? Well, I would say that Exoprimal was their first sort of misstep. Mm.
I mean, the game's out.
I don't know.
Soon.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a hit, but yeah,
it's out. That's what's confusing.
Is it out?
Yeah, I saw it like on sale the other day.
What?
Oh no, it's not out. Weird. Okay, so maybe the pre-order is on sale already. It's only out in July.
Yeah, because I don't think it's out. No,
I don't know. I saw some, Wario64 being like, it's. Can get it on for this amount. I don't know.
Maybe it's just a special price.
I don't know. I know Darren played the beta and he was like, oof, this is not fantastic. So,
Hate to see it.
But it's fine. No one's, I think the expectation is there. No one's really expecting it to be huge.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So.
But Capcom doing some magic as you will. Since Resident Evil 7, it's been a. Just hit after hit, which is cool.
I would say actually since Monster Hunter World, that was the thing that really got them back on
but
track.
Did that?
Yeah.
Was that before Resident Evil?
Before 7,
it was, yeah.
It was the same year, but it was before.
Okay.
But when that thing just fucking catapulted into the stratosphere, it was like, oh.
Yeah, this is like, really good.
Monster Hunter's never done this. Like, what the hell, you know? Nice. So, yeah.
Cool. That's all the games we've played this week. Cool. Look at us. 35 minutes.
Oh my God, there's a cat.
Which means we can go straight to games out this week.
Look at this absolute
unit. What a unit. So flappy. So cute.
He looks very unhappy.
Like, put me down.
I can sit in the chair.
This is so undignified.
Yeah. It's like, how dare you? Game releases. We're looking at games out from June 3rd. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because we're still on Discord. And I just got a notification from Jeff. He's like, played Street Fighter 6 on Steam Deck in bed. Got absolutely bodied.
I mean, you should just get good.
He says now, like a 9 loss streak in 10 games.
Oh my God. That's like, I've played a fair bit online now. And I won my first game yesterday. I was so chuffed. I was like, fuck yes, finally.
So we're looking at games from today, June 3rd until June 9th. A handful of games. And also just some weird ones here because one game is technically out. But anyway. Okay. So we got Super Mega Baseball 4.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Coming to PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch June 2nd. We Love Katamari Reroll plus Royal Reverie. Nice. What a name. PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, June 2nd. I assume that's like a re-release of Katamari Damacy.
I think it must be.
Yeah. Tiny Thor coming to PC, June 5th.
Nice.
Okay. This is the weird one because it's technically out already, but Diablo 4. So yeah, if you order the Ultimate Edition, you are playing right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it is officially out for everyone else on PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Not on Switch, lame. June 6th.
Maybe one day.
Loop 8, Summer of Gods, PC, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, June 6th. Nocturnal, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, June 7th.
Nice.
MotoGP, no number on that one. Strange. PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, June 8th. Bleak Sword DX. I feel like Bleak Sword was a Apple Arcade game.
Oh.
I am correct. Yeah,
nice.
It was. It is I remember playing this on Apple Arcade and it was fun as hell.
Nice.
It's like a very hard as hell like roguelite. So, yeah.
Take my money.
Coming to PC and Switch, June 8th. And then the last game for the week, Grey Hill Incident, PC, PS4, PS5, June 9th.
Nice. Cool. Well, there's
one coming out the week after called Heist Kitty, multiplayer cat simulator game.
Man. Late in the month, the Crash Team Rumble. Are you ready?
No? It looks bad.
Oh
my God. Formula One 2023 is out the week after this. Holy shit.
Your June's looking very busy.
I want to play that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Final Fantasy 16. Oof.
And then it's funny because July is just... There's some stuff. But yeah, it's pretty empty thereafter.
I bet that changes this
week. That's going to change very quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we can move to news, which when I woke up this morning, I thought, not much happened this week. But little did I know that actually a lot had happened this week.
Should we start with the proof of life statement that Square Enix put out for Final Fantasy?
Nice. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth does still exist.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, including us, were expecting this to pop up at the now fairly disappointing PlayStation Showcase, considering that it is still listed for a winter 2023 release. Obviously, that means either later this year or early next year. Yeah, well, you can tell yourself that all you want. I really don't think it's out this
year. I think it's early next year.
So Square Enix has issued a small update on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the upcoming second chapter to its Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy. In the statement really issued via Twitter, Rebirth producer Yoshinori Kitase?
I think so.
Kitase. Confirmed development is progressing smoothly and a firm release date is now being considered. So Eurogamer says, so that's nice.
That's nice.
Really funny. Yeah, the whole it was weird. It was just like an image that was like a question and answer thing.
I saw that, yeah. This teacher.
Basically says, development is progressing smoothly and according to plan, we are currently working on nailing down a release date in bold for the game. That was it.
It's just funny because the wording, I imagine like a boardroom full of people just bouncing ideas off like October 23rd and someone's like, oh no, it's we can't do that because whatever. And someone's like, what about August 5th? And they're like, no. So they're like really working to nail this down. So let's break. Let's go have lunch. We'll discuss this after.
I don't know. I don't think this shows up Achilles thing.
No, I mean, not after this statement. I feel that if it were going to show up, this wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. Yeah, they'd be like, well, just wait a few days and you'll fucking see it. So I think this is them getting out ahead of all of these press conferences and being like, this thing's not going to appear there because we literally do not have a release date yet. It is coming. I think given that they don't have a release date, this almost like confirms to me this is not coming out
next year.
There's no
I think
way
it's
this
like
is coming out this Feb, year.
March next year.
Yeah. Even, I mean, them giving a release window, it's nice to have, but those things have been blown past many times.
For sure.
Like, just like a CD Projekt Red, how many times they did that. So,
yeah.
At least it's still alive.
It's alive.
But yeah, I definitely think this is a next year thing only.
I had no doubt, but it is nice to know that it is alive. What else?
Should we stick with PlayStation slightly? A new exclusive is coming to PC. It's time.
What news?
Ratchet
is
and
this?
Clank Rift Apart is finally coming to PC.
I was in the right piece. I was like, oh my god, is it an exclusive I missed?
No. It's cool.
Ooh,
it's 2 years almost to the day that it will be coming to PC. So that's neat.
It's a real good game. But
it's a fantastic game, I think. Yeah.
It is hilarious though, because this was the game that Sony were like, those interdimensional rifts, man, the power of PlayStation 5 makes them possible. So it makes me wonder.
There's nothing on the PC specs that specifies
a hard drive
requires SSD. You know what I mean?
Which makes me wonder.
The system requirements aren't necessarily fully out, but there's nothing in the features list that is like, will require SSD to play. Because like you said, Sony made a fucking big deal about that. Mm. Like they were like, without the power of this SSD, jumping between these worlds would not be possible. So either they found a way to do it after a while.
Or they lied.
Or they were just trying to sell you a console.
Marketing lingo,
would you
whatever.
Believe it?
Get out.
This game is going to look fucking great. I mean, it looks phenomenal on PS5, but
already.
On PC, running at full tilt with all the ray tracing stuff, I think
it's going to look
fantastic.
Great, yeah. It's a good game. If you haven't
it's a
played
really
it,
good game. Yeah,
really
I thoroughly enjoyed
recommend.
It. Mm. It also is a game where it made very good use of the DualSense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely think you can play it without that, but the like having the secondary fire mode as like another press on your trigger was really clever.
Mm.
It's cool.
Cool. So that's coming
cool game.
Out.
you know what else is coming out?
Are you talking about Nintendo?
A new 1-2 Switch.
Why?
Why?
Who asked for this?
Why is this happening?
So
everybody 1-2 Switch is coming out later this month.
I can't
it just
believe
like,
it.
Nintendo just fucking tweeted this thing.
Well, so let's just dial back for a second. If you don't know what this game is, okay, so when the Switch launched, it came out, but it wasn't bundled with the game, but simultaneously a game called 1-2 Switch launched alongside it. Mm. And if you were a new Switch owner, you might have thought like, oh wow, this is like let's think of it like the Wii Sport bundling for the Wii, except I have to buy it. And those people bought the game and all they found was some weird mini games. And it was a full price game and it made people wonder, why was this just not bundled with the Switch to begin with? Like as a hey, you bought the Switch as a free game to enjoy.
Yeah.
It's like a full
It wasn't a pack-in. Yeah.
No, it wasn't a pack-in. So
it should have been a pack-in.
The fact that the sequel exists is just like, what? Who asked for this? I don't know.
So I actually forgot about this, but Eurogamer mentions now, it's not the first we've heard of Everybody Want to Switch.
What?
It leaked last year and gained some infamy because apparently Nintendo was sitting on it. It was ready to go, but it had tested so horribly that they decided to delay it internally.
I mean, do you think they fixed it?
No.
It'll cost just £25.
Also, you can play this game with your smartphone. So it's like Joy-Con and smartphone. That like takes out the whole point of the first game was like it is a demo for what the Joy-Con can do.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't know why this exists. Will I check it out? Yes.
It is out on June 30th. So get hype.
My God.
Get hype for 1-2 Switch 2.
1-2 Switch 2. Well, yeah. 1-2 Switch 2. 2-1-2 Switch.
2-1-2-1-2 Switch.
Love Hi, Nintendo.
Have you heard about this game called Redfall?
Yes. Yes,
I can't believe how much news
there was this week. Just looking at it now, I really thought there was nothing.
Of news. Like, it turns out this game's not fantastic. And
shocker.
Unsurprisingly, it has not been fantastic for a very long time. Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg had a huge kind of report on like what happened with this game.
Mm.
And it comes down to a few like I think critical errors on ZeniMax's part. So Bethesda's parent company, ZeniMax, was apparently encouraging studios to develop games as a service that could generate revenue post-release, or while it sought to sell itself. Stop me if you heard this story before.
Never.
This was especially after Prey was a commercial kind of failure.
Mm.
Arkane wanted to make a more broadly appealing game, and that essentially turned into Redfall.
Yeah.
So it was originally pitched as a multiplayer Arkane game, and it's said in this report that most staff weren't entirely sure how to incorporate an immersive sim elements that the studio was known for into a multiplayer game. It didn't help that directors Harvey Smith and Ricardo Bear didn't provide the staff much direction in that case. So they spent months, if not years, just kind of working blindly on like very vague goals and like this needs to be more Far Cry or this needs to be more Borderlands, and like people didn't really understand what that meant.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So Arkane's office in Austin only employed less than 100 people. So the team was heavily understaffed to develop a multiplayer game of this scale. And as a result, morale suffered, developers were uninterested by the idea, and around 70% of the staff that worked on Prey had left the studio.
It's crazy.
During the development of Redfall. That is obscene.
Yeah.
That is like, Arkane Austin is a completely different team now. Like,
yeah.
And then while these people were leaving, they were struggling to fill all the vacancies that were left because ZeniMax apparently had a reputation for lower than average salaries and conservative policies in the studio's home state of Texas.
Mm.
And was obviously made worse by the fact that they couldn't announce what the game was. So I think the wildest thing here is that after the acquisition of ZeniMax, you know, Microsoft purchased them, some employees actually hoped that Microsoft would cancel the project outright. But Microsoft was so hands-off that they just let it continue. And, you know, Phil Spencer said previously in an interview that that's on them for not engaging further and seeing what a mess it was.
It is weird, though, because even, like, it was wrong of Microsoft to not engage with the studio.
Mm.
However, it's funny when an acquisition like this happens. I'm sure there are people going like, yeah, okay, Microsoft's got them, but they mustn't get involved. Like, don't mess with
absolutely.
Austin. Let them do their thing. But it's weird how this is the inverse and people are like, oh, but why did Microsoft not get involved?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people at first were like, I hope Microsoft doesn't meddle in trying to
steer clear, don't touch
force
them.
Arkane to do something. I mean, when Redfall came out, people were like, well, you see, Microsoft tried to make a multiplayer game, and it turns out they were doing that beforehand.
Yeah.
And like Microsoft probably should have gone in there and just like shot the horse at the back of the shed and been like, this is not working.
Yeah.
And the problem with that now is Microsoft is emboldened to be a lot more heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Because they're like, look, we fucking gave you the chance and fucked it up.
And now look what happened, yeah.
Yeah. You made us look like clowns. Now we are making sure you do not do that again.
Someone Photoshop Clown Phil Spencer. I have to see that. Yeah, look, I think it's sad overall for, like, you never want to see a studio, you know, put out a game that ruins their reputation.
No, absolutely
like,
not,
knocks
yeah.
In. But man, like, Redfall really missed. I don't think anyone knew was going to miss this hard.
Especially a studio that put out a game like Prey, which is fantastic. It's a good game. Like, you know, I have issues with it, but it's a really, really fun game, a really great immersive sim. And like, for them to come out and be like, cool, we're making a multiplayer game, like, everyone gave them the benefit of the doubt, being like, Arkane has yet to miss.
Yes.
And they fucking missed here so hard. But it just seemed like a bad idea from the get-go. And can you name a game that you think is in a very similar predicament to this, about to embarrass their developers?
Starfall.
No, you heard of a game called Suicide Squad?
Oh, yes, yeah. I was kidding about Starfall. I mean, Starfield.
A game from a studio predominantly known to make action single-player games, now making a Games of the Service four-player game that everyone is looking at and going, what the fuck is this?
What is this? Yeah. It's been delayed, but I don't think...
Redfall version 2 is out next year. I will put money on it. Shit. And there will be a similar retrospective of like, oh yeah, Warner Brothers got Rocksteady to make a game that they really didn't have faith in, and that's why it took 9 years, and there was constant direction changes, and
I don't know. You kind of hope that somebody looks at this and goes, "Let's not do that." I mean, they're not going to now not do Suicide Squad or have enough time to make significant enough changes.
No.
But you have to hope. It's like, man, can we learn a lesson from this? Oh. Thank you. I got a coffee and a croissant.
Ooh.
Look at that.
And a croissant.
A croissant. So yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
Redfall. That's a game I still want to download and try, just to say I've tried it. That face. It speaks so many things.
Let's stick with Microsoft real quick.
Nice.
Because this is a small update. The merger stuff is still happening. Microsoft's still fighting the UK's the CMA, so the Competition Merger Authority. So they've filed their appeal. And there's a preliminary July 24th start date for the, you know, hearings on this appeal, which is a lot sooner than I think most people expected. A lot sooner than the CMA definitely wanted.
I mean,
apparently the appeal will unlikely require all 10 days. Not too sure what happens then after that. Like, I think there is a judgment, like whether or not Microsoft is successful in the appeal. And if they are, basically that just means the CMA re-reviews the deal, which can take months again. So,
it's a wild time.
I'm sure sending the work back to the people who already said no to be like, okay, you made a mistake, check it again. I'm sure that will definitely convince them
this
to come
like,
back with a yes.
This is like having 79% on an exam and being sending it back like, please, just give me the 1%. Like, come on.
And you get it back and you get 78% and you're like, fuck's sake.
Like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't know how the story's going to unfold, but I don't know. I don't know if
they're
going to change.
I still don't see it going well in the UK. If this appeal fails, that's like game over, rip deal. You know?
Yeah, guess who's moving to the UK? This guy. Guess who's going to have not whatever the rest of the world has? This guy.
Yeah, no Game Pass for you.
Oh my God. Can you imagine, like, to get around the deal, we've cancelled Game Pass in the UK. I'm like, well, guess I'm moving back. Yeah. Just for game parts.
Lenska, pack your bags.
We're going home. I can't do this. We have, I suppose let's just keep with Microsoft here, because this, I need you to tell me about this. The Xbox 360 controller is making a comeback for Xbox Series X.
Let's fucking go. There's loads of alternative controllers for the Xbox that have been made by a company, Hyperkin. They're the ones who like recreated the old Xbox Duke controller, that massive fucking colossal thing, and made it like wirelessly compatible with the Xbox consoles. So now they've done that with the Xbox 360 controller, which I think is a very good controller, aside from its absolutely abhorrent D-pad. It's a very nice ergonomic. Yuck. Yeah, it's fucking gross. That D-pad is absolutely shit. I think it's a nice ergonomic feel to it. So
there's a missed opportunity here from Xbox with this nice metallic Nexus button.
I think it's very nice.
If they had that, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think that's an option on Design Lab, for example. But like, man, imagine having you can put the retro 360 button on your whatever you design. I think it'd be quite cool. Yeah.
So this is only a wired controller, which is kind of a bummer. it is only $50.
In 2023? Oh my God.
Yeah. Listen, if you're playing at your desk, I guess, sure. But if you... it comes in three colors, even the default white that the Xbox controller launched with, which is great because it just turns brown over time.
Yeah.
It's out this year. I think it's... Wait, I have no idea when this is out, but it looks sick. June 6th launch, so it is out.
As a proud PS5 white controller owner, I'd never want to own a white accessory again. Looks great in product shots. When you hold it, amazing. Doesn't matter how often you wash your hands before you play, that thing is going to turn brown. It is the worst. And I hate it.
I have numerous Xbox 360 controllers, white ones, and they are all fucking disgusting today.
Just make it a dark color. I'd rather, I'll sleep better not knowing it's disgusting, but I can't see it.
Yeah, it's fine. Exactly.
It's cool. It's cool, man.
Absolutely disgusting.
Last few pieces VR of news.
MetaQuest 3 is launching. The thing that has been leaked to hell and back is finally coming out. It's the next version of, Meta's standalone headset. It will start at $500 for the 128 gig version. Which is quite a bit, but it does feature next generation like Snapdragon chip
double
inside.
Double the GPU power. Nice.
Double the GPU power. It's also lighter. It's like 20% lighter than the previous one, which is really cool. The controllers are being completely redesigned. They don't need that stupid tracking circle on the outside anymore.
Nice.
And they have haptics now as well.
Look at that.
So yeah, it's really, really cool. It seems like it's got like full video, color video pass through, which is awesome, I think. It's a cool headset. It's just a bit expensive, I think. But because of that, Meta is dropping the price of the Quest 2.
That's very cool.
And saying that it will stick around for a while. So that gives you an entry point into VR. So you can get the Quest 2 now for its original price, which is hilarious. They're like, we've discounted it. They've just moved it back to what it originally was.
Nice.
$300 for the 128 gig version and $350 for the 256. Nice. There's also a big update, a big patch coming to the Quest 2, which Meta says will significantly increase its processing power. So
yeah, explain that black magic to me, because
I have no fucking clue how that works.
I don't have the numbers yet, but I remember you and Jeff talking about it in Discord. It was like a 20% increase. I'm like, how?
Yeah, I don't know if they found some optimization thing on their chipset it seems crazy to me. It also seems like you're making the headset cheaper and more powerful while trying to sell a more powerful headset at double the price almost. Like, that seems a bit counterintuitive. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, if you want to be extra shady, just like drop the price and don't tell anyone that you figured out how to optimize it.
Yeah, it's...
push people to buy
people
the
probably
one.
Wouldn't realize so this is the way for them to tell people, yeah, like, yes, don't worry, the new VR games that will be pushing more graphical boundaries, they will be supported in your Quest 2, because they dropped support for the Quest 1 so quickly after the Quest 2 came out, And that's like part of what bummed me out about it, because like they brought out Resident Evil 4 in VR and I was like, no, it's only in Quest 2. And I was like, fuck. And they're like,
yeah, you've got the Quest 1. Headset space,
I sold it, but I did have the Quest 1.
How long does a battery life on a headset like that last? Just for interest sake.
Quite a while, three hours.
Okay,
or so.
I mean, that's also like, yeah, you don't really want to spend more than 2 to 3 hours away.
No, exactly. I never brushed up against the sort of limits of the battery life. Mm. And you know, when I'm playing games like Half-Life Alyx, which I was playing for a very long time, after 2 hours, I'm like tired.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was the only game that really pushed me to the battery's limits, but I was playing it quite a lot.
Yeah.
But then it also charges over USB-C, so it's quick.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah. No, nice. I never had an issue with that. That's coming out, what, later this year? September 27th. Oh, no, more details will be shared at an event on September 27th, so there's no release date.
We'll see. I will say, like, it's funny, I don't own a VR headset, but I am glad that there is VR. It's like this market is here to stay. Like, when these headsets were rolling around, it was a thing of like, VR was an attempted thing like 2 decades earlier, but in very rudimentary form. It's cool that, you know, there's a whole market for it. And I will get into it one day. I need to play Beat Saber.
I do think that the price for this Quest 3 absolutely clowns on the PSVR 2.
Yeah.
Like, it is just $50 cheaper, works. Firstly, and it's an all-in-one system.
Yeah.
And if you looked at obviously this whole showcase was just for VR, but the number of games that they announced, like a lot of them are coming to PSVR 2 as well, but there is just so much more faith in Quest as a platform because it actually sold. Like, it sold incredibly well.
Well, so it's accessible. Like, I would consider picking up a Quest 2 one day.
A Quest 2 now is a phenomenal idea. Yeah. Like, $300 for an all-in-one system, like,
yeah, and it's just out the box. It works. I don't need to set up any fancy tracking things.
You don't need to buy a $500 console to make it work.
Don't need a powerful PC.
Don't need one. Benefits from it, but don't need one.
That's cool. Cool. And I guess last piece of news this week. Have you heard of The Witcher 3? Oh, I love this header. Got our main man Geralt giving a good old thumbs up here, because The Witcher 3 has sold 50 million copies, and the entire trilogy has sold over 75. Oh my god, the strapline, roach for the stars.
You're a gamer, never change.
You're the best, we love you. But
This is a huge number for the series, and I think, you know, obviously bolstered very recently by the Netflix series.
Sorry, I'm just looking at all these puns. Some serious numbers. I mean,
oh my god,
this is gold. But yeah, I think this is to the point. This gives a lot of weight to the argument of why TV shows based on games
work. Yeah,
it really works. Like, I think we're gonna be sharing a very similar story in the next year or two of like, oh, The Last of Us has sold whatever tens of millions of copies as well to date, because there's a TV show, and it just brings in a whole new legion of fans who are like, oh man, there's a game of the show. Like, I want to play that. Yeah, it's crazy.
No, it's great, and it's, I think a lot of people want to try and like replicate that success with their own shows. That's why you're seeing so many more of them.
Sony's Archer making so many movies and shows.
That Twisted Metal show is out like soon.
I can't wait for Gran Turismo. Let's go.
Eurogamer notes here that The Witcher 3 is now the 9th best-selling video game of all time, sitting ahead of 1996 Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow.
That is?
Which is insane.
Crazy.
The biggest-selling video game of all time still remains Minecraft.
Yeah.
Sold in excess of 238 million copies. That is just nuts.
But this is not comparative in this form, but it just as a recent example, I think Tears of the Kingdom sold 10 million copies
in a week.
In a week, it sold
a fifth of what The Witcher did in 8 years. Yeah,
so what I'm getting at is Nintendo, where's my Legend of Zelda movie? We'll show. Let's go.
Get the studio that did Castlevania on Netflix to do a Zelda show. Like, not in terms of like dark tone and whatever, just like animation. You know what I mean?
I was going to say Zelda, it's it's such a weird thing because, like, even playing Tears of the Kingdom, I'm like, man, there's some really dark themes here. But Zelda, I mean, and I suppose across the franchise, Zelda's like, oh, it's Nintendo, it's friendly. It's like, no, if you look deep enough, there's some really dark material there. Man, they could make a hell of a dark TV show like Castlevania if they really wanted to. But they won't.
But they also, I think the studio that did Castlevania, or at least the writing team, they took what was a very vague and very bare framework for a story and fleshed it out like beautifully.
Yeah.
And I think Zelda's the same. Zelda doesn't have in-depth storytelling. Like,
no.
It's got a framework, but you can do a lot within that framework. You know what I mean? You can make Ganondorf fucking scary.
I mean, did you play the opening of Tears of the Kingdom? When zombie Ganondorf snapped back to life, man.
You've never played Ocarina of Time, but there's a moment in that game where you do like a time jump forward to like a very evil alternative like reality. And it is fucking terrifying. There are like skull things there that if you get close to them, they turn around, they scream at you and you can't move.
Oh my God.
Horrifying. And then they walk slowly towards you before they kill you.
Let me tell you.
Make that.
You got to play Tears of the Kingdom because... So what's the one key enemy missing from this game for story reasons? They were an absolute pain in the original initially. It's the Guardians. They don't exist in this game.
The little spider boys.
They don't exist in this game. But let me tell you, there's an enemy that I would consider similar and they are horrifying. The first time you
meet, there's an actual spider in this game, I'm going to just no. Eat but the my first time from
you
the other end of the
see
room.
This enemy, it's like, oh my God! Just you have to run. Nintendo make this movie. We'll show. It's cool.
Yeah. Cool. Last thing here on The Witcher. This was all part of their financial earnings. They basically just announced that the Cyberpunk 2077 DLC Phantom Liberty will be present at the Summer Games Fest. So. Nice. This coming week, probably get a release date on that, and that production on the new Witcher game, which is using Unreal Engine 5, is ramping up significantly after the launch of this DLC. So
nice,
yeah, that's the next thing to come.
Is that a remake of the first game, or is it a new?
So the remake of the first game is a separate project.
Oh, is it separate?
This is a sequel.
Oh my God, that's too much. That's too much Witcher. Yeah.
They're working on like three or four different Witcher projects currently. It's a lot. I mean, when one fucking game sells 50 million, of course you're going to be like, cool, let's do more.
Let's just do more, yeah. I mean, I'll play them. I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, that is a surprisingly packed week of news for this week.
Indeed. You have told me that there are no questions.
There are no questions. People
But I do want to tell people that if they do want to send questions, you can email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find us on all of our social channels at Checkpoint Chat. But we have no questions for this week, which is fine.
Week, unfortunately.
It's fun. Just and we, break my heart. It's
we
fun.
Did have... there was some broken communication. Because have you ever used Facebook Messenger?
Whenever I want to sell something, yes, and it sucks.
It is the absolute worst. Now, okay, try using it from a company point of view. It does not work. So I swear we had a message on Facebook Messenger that I just remembered now. Let me see.
Okay, maybe don't use Facebook Messenger because it's ass. Very sorry if we lost your question.
You can, but it's just not ideal. Let me just see
but
if
it's
I can
ass.
Pull it up quickly. I'm pretty sure. So I just realized now I'm pretty sure we had one.
Matthew Archer making me a liar.
Sorry, I really am.
Absolute. Can't believe this. Betrayal that I'm suffering on air right
it's,
now.
It's gone. It was Diablo 4 related. I know it was from one of our listeners named Michelle. I just cannot find the original message now. It's
if you send us a message on there, just resend it on
Twitter any other platform.
Or just make a comment
on a post on
Facebook.
Send it on Instagram. It's cool. Instagram messages works pretty well. Because that's funny, I've pulled up an old conversation and I'm like, no, it's not here. But I remember seeing something and I don't know where it is now. Mm. Cool.
Hate to see it. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But that's been episode 226 of Checkpoint Chat. Mm-hmm. As always, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Look at you listening to us giving you thanks. It's great.
Oh, what a time. What a time.
We hope you have a fantastic week. And as always, we will be back next week. We are fast approaching Matthew's D-Day.
Goodbye.
I have not made plans for what the fuck to do in the weeks that follow that, but we'll figure it
we'll
out
see.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get Darren on here. Who knows?
Nice. Oh, Bone Thaws himself. Can you imagine?
Good old Bone Thaws. Good old kind of funny's own. I mean, GameSpot's own. I mean, the internet's own Bone Thaws.
Bone Thaws, man. That'd be a win for us.
Do you think I can ask Darren to help me get Greg Miller on the show?
That would be hilarious. I think it's very unlikely to happen, but shit, I'd laugh.
And just log on one day, it's Darren and Greg Miller here, just chilling, waiting for the podcast.
Greg's like, hi, I'm on the world's smallest South African podcast. What's up? Like, oh my God, I can't believe he's done this.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a great week and we will see you next time. Okay, bye.
Goodbye.